Wondering what's next in your business or personal life? Welcome to Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings, a podcast dedicated to helping you with all of life's challenges, discoveries, and opportunities. Whether you're seeking a new career, retirement, or simply wanting to make an impact in your community or the world, join Jen Duplessis and her guests as they explore how to start, what to do when you're in the thick of a change or growth, and how to leave a mark in this world after breaking through your next achievement. You are moments away from the aha you've been seeking.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Success to Significance. I'm your host, Jen Duplessis, and I want to introduce you today to my special guest who I met on the Marketers Cruise. I've been talking about the Marketers Cruise for some time, and if you want to go on this cruise, you want to increase your business, you want to network with like-minded people, let me know. Or better yet, we'll just put the link in the show notes here too. Would love to meet you in person. Would love to share with you everything that we're learning. Over 450 business owners from all over the world attend this event. And that's where I met my next guest, J.M. Reverson. He is a leadership and professional coach, international speaker, host of Let's Go Win podcast, and the best-selling author of the books Let's Go Win, Champions Daily Playbook, and Upgrade. JM has been building companies and leading sales teams for over 20 years and is the founder and CEO of Let's Go Win, whose mission is to increase leadership and help teams achieve peak performance. JM's passion is to inspire people to become open to what life has in store for them. Does that sound familiar? And to provide others with the tools needed to overcome their self-limiting beliefs. And with that, I would like to welcome JM to the show. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Jen. I appreciate it. I'm humbled to be here. And this will be a lot of fun.
I'm excited. And as I said in the intro, we met on the Marketers Cruise, so tell us a little bit about your experience on the Marketers Cruise, because I was sharing with our listener, about how great this event is for international meeting people from all over the world and all the crazy things that people do. It's amazing to find out what people do.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you put people that are ambitious, they have drive, and they want to genuinely help other people, I think it's a recipe for good things to happen. On top of the fact that my wife and I love to cruise as well. So yeah, I mean, the experience was amazing. Met so many good people that really are looking to improve their craft, network with other people. And it's not always that way where, people going in with real specific agendas, but I think everyone was just looking to connect and learn. And it was a fantastic experience that they put on, that Mike and Lou and Tom and everyone that put that on. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah. You know what? And a little side note about what I'm so excited about too is that I have a captain's license. My husband and I both have a boating captain's license. And so we're getting our certification for a larger vessel so that when we go to St. Thomas to visit Tom next year, we're going to have this big vessel that we'll reserve. And then we're going to take that around to Megan's Bay with a group of people. So I'm really excited as an excursion, and it's free to them, and all we pay for is gas. That's all we pay for when we do it. But so I'm excited about doing that because now it's forced me to get a larger vessel captain's license, which I've been kind of putting off for a while. So, I love it. Yeah. And it's really important too for the person who's listening that this is a networking event that is not a pitching event. We don't go walking around and go, what do you do? Well, I do this. Let me tell you what I do. And I want to share. It's more of a collaborative event. And I, been doing it for 7 years and I love it. So, again, met another great person in you, JM. So thank you again for being on our show. So we want to start off with your story, right? What glass ceiling and understanding that we recognize that, and I recognize that everybody goes through a multitude of glass ceilings, but is there a glass ceiling that you want to share today that would help someone who's listening of saying, hey, if you can do it, I can do it too. Or, so that's how I break through that glass ceiling, right? I've been struggling with this for so long and aha, that's how I might want to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's such a good question. And there's been many throughout my career where we put these self-imposed ceilings or beliefs or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think the one that stands out to me the most, it wasn't so much that I didn't hit it, but I did hit something early in my career that was really hitting that seven-figure mark in a year. And why was it a glass ceiling? Well, A, I never thought I would be able to make that much money for whatever reason. Now, a lot of that was conditioning, you know, some of the hard wires that I had with growing up. And I remember the first time that I did it, I actually felt bad about the accomplishment. And wow. It's fascinating to sit back now and say, why in the world would you feel bad about accomplishing something like that? Well, it was because of some of the things that I was taught as a kid, like the country club was for pretty people, or that was for everyone else. And that's all just stuff. Things that were passed down generationally. And it's funny, Jen, to look back and now say, why would you ever feel that making money is a bad thing? But I did in the moment. I really did. And I look at it now because anytime I make any amount of it's just more opportunities for other people, whether that's giving back to charity or creating a company or whatever. But that was probably the biggest ceiling that I remember going, well, I'll never hit that. And when I did, I didn't feel like I belonged. And I think the other time was when I wrote my first book, really that imposter syndrome of, yes. I'm not worthy of writing the book. Oh, you had the same experience.
Oh, yeah, with my book. I did. Yeah. With my first book. Yeah. You know, you're not the expert you think you are, blah, blah, blah. There's other experts out there, right? Yeah.
It's funny how we put these things on ourselves to say, I'm not worthy. I'm not smart enough, whatever it is. Well, the truth is none of that is true. That's just goop that we've put on to say, I am feeling a certain way, which is fine. I don't feel worthy, mm-hmm. but why? And those are the three questions I always ask, Jen, is why do you believe that? Is that true? And how is that showing up or serving in your life? Yeah. Because all these glass ceilings, it's like, why do I believe that? Well, I believe making money was a bad thing because of things that my dad and my grandfather said. Okay, well, is that true? Actually, there's no truth that I can find behind that. Yeah. Well, how's it showing up? Well, I'm playing small, and playing small serves no one. When I answered those three questions, it was like, well, that was kind of a silly way of looking at things. Let's let's move on. Right. And it's kind of made other glass ceilings a little bit easier to deal with since.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said glass ceilings to deal with sins, because that was going to be my next question I asked you is that, you know, sometimes when we blast through these glass ceilings, sometimes we fight through them, we're all cut up and everything. But to slide back through that would be very, very painful, right? To slide back down would be, ouch, that's going the wrong way. So if you look at a glass ceiling as, you know, okay, I went through that and now I'm standing on the floor, right? Now that the ceiling that once was is now my floor. What was it that kept you from falling back down? What did you have an event? Did you have some type of trigger that said, wait, whoa, 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 I'm not going back down? And then what have you done to keep yourself? What kind of mantra or inspiration, daily inspiration, affirmation, or who did you hang around with? Or what did you finally do that you needed to do? And you made it through the ceiling, but boy, you needed to do this in order to stay above. What are some of those things that happened to keep you above so that now you could look for a different ceiling?
Yeah, there's a multitude of answers to this, and it's a good question. Surrounding myself. When you surround yourself with other people that really are aspirational, or they believe in changing the world for the better, it's hard to slide back into old patterns because you have upgraded really who you surround yourself with. And it's not that. So I'll give you a good example. A lot of my high school buddies and even college friends, they have chosen a certain path, which is they're very comfortable at X amount of living. Fine. No judgment. I think it's fantastic. It just doesn't align with what I'm trying to do and being an entrepreneur and building. So when I'm with them, we have a fantastic time and we reminisce and we do all the things back home in Montana. It's fantastic. But when I'm in a professional setting, I'm surrounded with people that are extremely, they're doing big things. They're putting themselves out there. They're willing to fail. And so it's not a judgment on, let's say, my best friend in the world. It's not a judgment. That is just the path he chose. My path is I want to scare the heck out of myself every single day, because when I'm uncomfortable, I know I'm growing. And so it is truly that. I have a whole thing on mantras that I do. I have my daily reminders that make sure to have a growth mindset is one of those, to where I remind myself, look, I'm not saying that I always have a growth mindset, but it's certainly what I want to choose to have.
Yeah.
And anytime I'm hitting those
I was going to say, it's better than hitting the opposition of that, you know, not having the growth mindset, but having, you know, it escapes me, like the stagnant mindset, right? It's just the scarcity mindset versus having that growth mindset. It's very, you know, scary. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so easy. Those are old patterns where I'm not good at, therefore I'm not going to move forward. Well, I wasn't good at, I don't know, name a walking. Thing that you weren't when you started. Yeah. Walking, riding a bike, playing baseball, like so many things that you didn't come out of the womb. And yes, there are prodigies, but I wasn't a prodigy in any of those things just previously mentioned. But with work, I got better at it.
Yeah.
And that's really been redefining myself as I've sold the other businesses that I'm trying something new. And now I'm in a new niche. And it's like, well, I don't know much about the niche, but can I help? Can I bring value? Yeah, I can. All right, cool. Stop thinking about yourself. Let's go serve the people. And then you start growing.
Yeah. And I think there's experiences that we have, baggage, let's call it baggage, but it's good baggage that we bring along into any new industry, any new venture that we have. We have the skill sets that we bring with us, and we think that we need to cut them off and leave them where they were. And that becomes some of the challenge that people have in growing is, well, I can't, you know, I was a mechanic and how can I possibly be this? But you have all these skills about organization. You have skills about negotiating, selling, explaining. There's, you know, solving problems. There's all kinds of skills that every single job has that we need to remember to bring forward. And, you know, and I think that that's what really prevents people. You know, a lot of people are tapping, they're ice picking the top of the ceiling, and they're not really hitting it hard enough because they're afraid that all this stuff's going to fall on them and they're going to be, you know, this imposter syndrome again, right? They're going to be revealed, that type of situation. So let's talk about limiting beliefs a little bit. You know, it's funny that you're telling me this. Now, I'm originally from Colorado, so we're like from the same neck of the woods, right? And you're right. There's a lot of people. And I think one of the reasons I wanted to leave Colorado is I felt so landlocked. You know, I would drive for 5 hours and still be in the middle of Colorado, right? And I felt so landlocked. And to a certain extent, that's what we're talking about here, is that you can be landlocked in your mind, you know, that there's no other option. And like you, I have lots of friends from high school and college that have maxed out. I mean, they have a lid on themselves and that's okay. They don't want more. They think it's comfortable. I just want more. Right? We want more, that challenge, you know, that repetitive challenge. So let's talk about some of the limiting beliefs as it relates to, we'll make a little transition here, as it relates to leadership and business. You know, you're aware that I do very similar things to what you do. I think you lean more towards some culture pieces, you know, and aligning your leadership. I'm more about, you know, the fact that someone was a great widget maker. Now they started a widget making company and they're still making widgets and they're working longer hours and they don't have the life they always dreamed of, but they don't have the skills. So I actually teach the management and leadership skills so that they can start growing. I think in your case, they already are in the leadership position. Maybe they need more skills, but they also want to develop a culture. So let's talk about some of the limiting beliefs that we have in the ability to lead in the workforce, knowing that you're already a leader in every other place in your life.
Yeah, you mentioned the widget maker that ends up being making more widgets. The truth is they just weren't taught the sales and leadership stuff. They probably didn't spend you know, the many years that you spent in leadership, or the books that you read, or the people you surrounded with yourself with. But these are all learnable skills. They truly are. So it is funny, often you'll hear people say, well, I'm this way because, or you hear it with people with genetics all the time. I'm heavy because my family's heavy. Well, maybe you're predisposed to that, but it's certainly not your destiny. You get to choose to have, I'm not saying you don't have challenges. Right. Certainly you do. And maybe you have some genetic factors that are going to hold you back, but can you make the choice to change that? And the truth is 100% you can. It may be more challenging than some people's. Now, some people just have a six pack. My son is one of those people. My oldest son has an eight pack, and he probably will for a long time. What's that?
Your son has a six pack for now. Wait till he gets older, right?
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. This kid, he's. I grew up with a kid like him. Dave, this guy would drink beer, eat pizza, and he would have an eight pack. Yeah. I would work out incessantly and just didn't have it.
Right.
However, you can get there. And this is when it comes to leadership. The reason I say that is I'll hear people say all the time, well, I'm shy, so I'm not a good leader.
Yeah.
Well, whoever said that you needed to be outlandish and gregarious and have this dynamic personality to be a great leader. In fact, some of the greatest leaders of all time were pretty mild mannered. I think of Mother Teresa. She wasn't outlandish. She was a fantastic leader. Lincoln. So I think it's really figuring out what language and what leadership really is. And I think when John Maxwell said leadership is influence, he nailed it. That's all leadership is. When you influence people to do something greater than they thought they could as a singular person, or they thought they could in general. And now you're rowing the boat in the same direction. You're accomplishing some amazing things. It's like you influence these people to do it, and you don't have to be this dynamic personality. Some people, that's a good leadership style. For some, it's not. And so what I would tell them is find your authentic leadership.
Yeah.
Bring the value that you have, and people will follow you through that brick wall. So I think it's just, like you said, the language of what we're telling ourselves. Stop labeling yourself, because you get to choose whatever you are that day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really important. You know, I look back on my career, right? When I was in, you know, financial services, I look back on my career, and I was one of I don't think I was one of I was the only female manager until they had others right after me. So I was the token female manager. And I would look at the way that others would lead and try to duplicate that. And then I would just fall flat. You know, and I would find that my staff was more attracted to them than me. And then when I changed, and I thought, well, then fine, you just go work for them. But then what I found out is I found out how I lead, you know, and being myself. And it felt, by the way, I wasn't exhausted at the end of the day from trying to be someone else. I wasn't playing and acting. But then all of a sudden I was they were more attracted to me than him, because now I was being me. And so whether, you know, they liked his style or liked my style better, I was a better version of my own style. And I think that's really important too. You know, I have and in fact, it's back here. I'm like, where is it? I've got a little sign that says, be yourself. It's right down here, right down there. If you're not watching, you can come watch, but it says, be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And it was something, you know, I've had that plaque for a while, right? And I think that that's really important, you know, is to try to find that alignment. So what are some strategies that you have for finding that alignment? I mean, I'm very familiar with situational leadership, you know, where we become chameleons and can be like them. But what, from your perspective, you saying, let's align it, how do you identify your style so that you can start taking those baby steps to be your style and not everybody else's that you're watching around you?
Yeah, you really have to just take off the masks like you're talking about. I say it all the time. Masks are meant for parties. They're not for real life.
Yeah.
So at some point we all chose to fit in, because naturally human beings, we want to be liked. We want to fit in. But you also realize that, wait a minute, and you mentioned it, if I'm putting all this effort trying to look, sound, be someone I'm not, I'm taking away so much energy that I could actually be putting forth doing great work.
Yeah.
And so some of the ways to do that are just really take a look in the mirror and say, who am I? And is this the way I want to show up? Because we all know genuinely how we like to show up. And here's my best example. Early in my leadership career, I would wear a suit and tie, and everyone on my team, it was a requirement, man. Like, that was what we were going to do. But the truth is, I'm,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking 3-piece suit and tie, and
straps,
which is
long pen.
Yeah. And you know what? Some people, they thrive in that suit and tie. I'm a kid from Montana. I love wearing jeans and a tee, just like I'm wearing today. I'm wearing my very, very comfortable t-shirt.
Yeah.
And the point is, it's not that one is better than the other. Some people feel really comfortable and confident in that suit and tie. I always felt like a fraud. I didn't feel comfortable. And then I started to act accordingly. Like, I need to sound this way. I need to think this way. No, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Now, that's just a simple example of using an outfit. But the truth is, when I really accepted and chose to be vulnerable with my team, we went from growing at 15% a year to growing at 22% a year, year over year. And by the way, I was spending less time at work, more time at home.
Yeah.
And all because I let people in. And actually, in my first book, I started with vulnerability. When you truly let your team in, when you open your arms and say, this is who I am, you'll find out immediately the people that A, are going to get behind what your vision is, or B, they won't. And the ones that do, they're going to be with you because you're letting them in. When you keep them at arm's length, they're not going to follow you through that brick wall. So that's just a couple ways to make sure to take off the mask, be vulnerable, be authentic, and watch how much easier that is than trying to be someone that you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The example I just gave you. Yeah. Some still liked his style, but others went, there she is. There she is. Oh my gosh. I love her. Right. Yeah. I think that's really important. You know, for me, it was armor. It wasn't a mask. It was armor. It was worse than a mask. A mask is easy. Like, pop it off. Armor is like glued to you. It's heavy. Right. And everyone kept saying, you know, take off the armor. And I said, no. I'm going to poke holes in the armor. I'm going to poke little holes as I learn, you know, and kind of maneuver through who I'm going to be. You know, this is 40 years in the making. This isn't something that happened overnight. Right. And as I poke those holes, little bits of sunshine, you know, and now people can follow you. Otherwise, the mask is just darkness. Right. I love your examples. I think that those are, you know, super powerful. What else do you want to share with the person who's listening about leadership? So one is be vulnerable. You know, I did hear you say talk about vision. So maybe you can talk about that, because if you don't share your vision with your team, then they're being led blindly, even if you do have your mask off. Maybe you could talk a little bit about vision.
Yeah. Anybody listening, when you think of your vision, you have to remember it has to be big enough for everyone else's vision to fit inside of it. And if it's not, start again. Because if you have a vision that's really limited, and we mentioned playing small earlier, and somebody has a vision bigger than yours, they're not going to be on your team. It just won't work.
Yeah.
So the first thing as a leader is to be very clear on, here's the vision. This is where we're going. And by the way, everyone, yours can fit inside of that vision as well. We can make sure to support that vision. The second part of that is actually having humility. And this is where it gets confusing for people. They're like, well, wait a minute. I have to create this great vision. Yeah, but it's not just your vision. It's the team's vision. And as a leader, one of the most important lessons to have is to truly be humble, truly allow your team to flourish and thrive and recognize them. You know, Gallup did a study and over 70% of people are currently disengaged in the workforce. Well, okay, that's not good, but why? The number one reason they found is people lack recognition. So as a leader, this is free to everyone. It costs you $0 and your return on your investment is incalculable just by saying, I appreciate you. I call it EPR. You want to encourage, you want to praise and recognize and never take that away from them. Because the worst thing I've seen leaders do is, well, they will take credit for something their team has done. You will destroy your credibility with your team and lose them. So make sure you're recognizing your people and giving them love.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Now, the question I have for that, a follow-up there is, I'm taking some notes here because I want to ask you another question here in a minute. The follow-up I have to that is, do you think that now is a product of our culture? Because we know adaptability quotient is now something, you know, we have EQ, IQ, we have all these, you know, crazy things, but now we have AQ, which is adaptability, and especially, you know, at the speed of what everything is growing. Do you think it's part of that, or do you, and maybe it's part of that, or do you think it's part of the generational leadership that we're now experiencing? You know, we have five different generations in the, well, I shouldn't say that, we have four generations in the workforce. We have seven generations out there. You know, I know that the largest generation that's now working, that is what's important to them. Are you seeing this because it's that generation and then it could change over time? Or are you feeling that this is something that, you know, has always been there? And I don't know if you know about generational leadership. I'm just, you know, I'm asking that question because I know, well, I'm a baby boomer by like a month. Right? So technically I'm a Gen Xer because I'm just too close to the Gen X, but Gen Xers were all about trophies and things like that. And you can see I've got one back here, but all the rest of them I throw away. I don't use them anymore, but it was the big thing, you know, like give me the plaque, give me the title. And now what's happened is it's come to show me gratification. I mean, show me appreciation. And tell me that you're giving back to the community. So I know it's a very, very long question, but what is your perspective on that? Do you think it'll change? You think it'll stay the same? It's always been that way. What's your thought?
So I think it's always existed to a degree. It's funny, even the way you're saying, like the trophies and, you know, it was really generationally speaking, it was like, look, you go to work and you're grateful for your job. But every time, if you look back, whether it's your parents, or your grandparents, they still had recognition pieces that they would show you and tell you about. I remember my grandfather worked for the FBI and he had one of the largest busts in the history. And the FBI, very hush-hush, they don't talk about a lot of what they did. Yeah. But there was a couple of examples that were so, my grandfather was so proud of the work that not only he had done, but his team had done. And so to me, that's just recognition. They were recognized for doing great work. I don't think that's ever going to go away from now until the end of time, because human beings, we want to feel rewarded and fulfilled. Now, you mentioned the newer generation where we want to make sure that it's more than just the widget, right? That we're also giving back. And that's certainly been a shift, but I think it's a shift for a positive, where they want to be fulfilled both making money, doing good things, but also giving back to those in need. But if you look at it, they want recognition for both as well, that we did do a great job. Tom's Shoes, they gave away however many millions of shoes to those that were in need. Mm-hmm. Well, if you think about it, they're trying to do something to help these folks, but they also want that recognition for, by the way, Tom's Shoes is more than just making a profit. So if you really look at it, my opinion, it's always been about recognition. It's just been adapted slightly differently in different language.
Yeah. It's just a different type of recognition. Yeah. I know statistically, you know, millennials, Gen Z will leave a higher paying job to go to a lower paying job to get more appreciation and more community involvement by their company. And I think that's just an amazing, you know, amazing thing. Thank you for sharing that. So what else would you like to share about leadership or about team building, you know, creating high performance teams that you think someone who's listening who is a leader or maybe stepping into that leadership role might need to know?
You know, I would say leadership is fun. If you really look at that, I so often, one of my least favorite things is it's lonely at the top. I've heard people say this for years, and it's discouraging for somebody to say, well, I don't want to be a leader. Then that sucks. I don't like being lonely. It's lonely at the top if you choose for it to be that way, in my opinion. And there are examples of it, right? Lee Iacocca for the people back in the 80s. I mean, this guy was huge. And yeah, he made it lonely because he took all the credit away.
Yeah.
But I look at the, you know, Elon Musk's or Steve Jobs of the world. They were very quick to say, I'm surrounded by really intelligent people. They would give praise to their team. They never seemed lonely to me at that point where they're changing the world for the better because they allowed people to have that recognition. So I think one of the things I would like to dispel is it's not lonely at the top unless you create it that way. Yeah. And again, you want to be fulfilled, and being a leader to me is a great thing because the truth is everyone listening to this podcast is a leader.
Yeah.
And most people say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you think about it, you have to lead yourself first.
Yeah.
Before you can lead anyone else. And it is one of those things where often people like, well, I want to give everything to my people. Got it. Have you actually worked on yourself first?
Yeah.
In order to show up as that best leader, you have to pour into your bucket so that you can pour more back out to your people. So that's one of the things that I talk about often, and I'm sure you do too, Jen. It's like, you know, you need to make sure you're taking care of you. So whatever hat you're wearing, that you're able to give back as much as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. My mentor, Dr. Greg Reed, you know, he's founder of Secret Knock, dear friend of mine, 138 published books. He wrote 3 Feet from Gold with Sharon Lecter, another dear friend. But he always says, work your strengths and hire your weaknesses. Work your strengths and hire your weaknesses. I think a poor leader works their strengths and refuses to hire their weaknesses because they don't want to see the weakness. And so that's what leads to burnout. That's what leads to the long hours and where they become a practitioner in their business rather than that leader and CEO, you know, the chief executive officer. And I think that, you know, we just don't have, again, this is to me where EQ comes in. I think a lot of great leaders have a lot of EQ, emotional, you know, the emotional quotient or emotional intelligence, where everything that they do is about the collective of the team rather than give it to me, shine the light on me, I can do it all. But you can't do it all forever. And that's why so many businesses fail.
Well, and it's funny, as a leader, as you're talking, one of the things that I see early leadership do is they think they need to have an answer for everything. If you don't know the answer, the best answer is, I don't know. That's a great question. Let's find out together. No leader, and you mentioned a couple of amazing leaders with great book, by the way, 3 Feet from Gold is fantastic. Right. If you want to know, everyone listening, if you want to know how to succeed, don't quit. I mean, that's literally, it's that simple. If you don't quit, you will succeed. Period, point blank. And when I read that book, it's so true because people are right there and yet they're not willing to put that extra effort in.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a good point. You don't have all the answers. You're never going to have all the answers. By the way, that just makes you human. That's a good thing. So,
yeah, well, and you should be a life learner, right? And have that thought process of, you know, I'm always learning, which in fact is saying, I don't know everything, right? That's why I'm always learning, because I don't know everything. Yeah. I think that's a really powerful piece of that too. So what is on your docket moving forward? What's ahead for you in 2024 as we're recording this? What can we look for from you?
Yeah, it's been a fun last couple of months. So this particular company, so this is my fourth company that I've had a chance to build. And this one, it took a while to really figure out my niche, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And I really have discovered me one way or the other, where I'm partnering with a lot of the dentistry world to help them. And there's a couple reasons why. Dentists are really amazing at drilling teeth and doing root canals and implants. I don't know anything about that. Okay. Zero. I know nothing about that. But they're not very good at doing sales and leadership because, again, they weren't taught that. They were working their tails off doing their dental school. And so it's been a really fun marriage for me to get a chance to just go in and do what I do and what I love in sales and leadership and double the revenue of these companies in short periods of time by applying what is really, to me, very basic and simple. So that's been fun. And it's allowed me to work in a field. So dentistry also has the highest rate of suicide of any occupation in the country. Wow. Well, I'm passionate about that because I lost my dad to suicide just over 2 years ago. And I don't want any family to go through that. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why this particular occupation is struggling with it. Mm-hmm. So it's been really fun, Jen, for me to not only double the revenues. That's great. And that's what they're excited about. But to watch them actually get some work-life harmony.
Yeah.
To watch the stresses and ease fall away and allow them to truly live their best life. There, it's more rewarding. Going back to the recognition or the rewarding piece, watching that is so more fulfilling than watching an extra zero go on the balance sheet, watching the income. That's cool. And I know it's important in business,
yeah.
But to watch these stresses melt away and to work with them in the executive coaching that I do, it's so awesome. And it reminds me of why I get up every single day.
It's your
because there's somebody hurt.
Yeah, yes, it's your it why. Is. I mean, you're explaining your why. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. And now I recall our conversation, which we talked about in the green room. I mean, I'm vulnerable. I can't remember anything. Yeah. Cause I was talking to you about that and you said, Dennis, and I said, oh, chiropractors. I work with a lot of chiropractors for the same reason, you know? Yeah. Because it's hard to be a leader. You know, I think it's not the comparison of suicide or anything, you know, financial planners is high up there. Real estate mm-hmm. agents are very high up there. Mortgage lenders are very high up there as well. You know, in that top category or in the top category of suicide, but also for heart attack, because the pressures of the job, you know, are there. And I think, you know, when a chiropractor, you know, says, look, I crack people's backs and their necks and stuff, they're the only ones that they think can do it. And that's the challenge. And I think the same with the dentist. It's like, you know, well, I'm the only one who can, you know, check them out. And it's inevitably when you go to the dentist, you see somebody and then you see the dentist and then you see somebody else and you see the dentist. You always see the dentist. So they feel like they're trapped, you know, and same with chiropractors, I think. And I think that's, well, there's a whole other reason why they commit suicide. It has nothing to do with it. But yeah, I think that this is a really key point. And I love that you found a niche. And I think that's important too. You know, I've always said niche to grow rich, or there's niche, you know, we all know that. We all know that if you're trying to sell everything to everybody, you're selling nothing to no one. That's the bottom.
No, you're absolutely right. It's funny because I came from the finance service world as well. And it was clear, like, this is what we do. And this is our target audience because of the world of Let's Go Win, because of how I started it. Cause I wrote the first book for my kids. Mm-hmm. I wrote it to inspire them to live their best lives. And so I was just helping anybody and everybody I could, which was cool. But people didn't know how to refer me. It was really interesting. They're like, so who do you help? How do you do this? And I'm like, but the moment I said the word dentistry, as you said,
yeah.
It's just opened up doors and people and in my own life
right.
that I didn't even know. So
right. And you do all the other things. It's like, You know, it's like Starbucks. They've never had an advertisement on the TV for their potato chips, for their yogurt, for their cake pops, for their blueberry muffins. Right. For their coffee itself, you know, the bags of coffee, they just advertise coffee and whatever their smoothie things are called and, you know, all that. And so when you go in there, and so that's what draws the people in. And then when you go in there, you're like, oh, they've got all this other stuff, you know, and they talk about, hey, would you like to have an egg bite? You know, I've never even seen an ad for an egg bite. Mm. And half of them are out of egg bites every day.
No, it's a great example. You're exactly right. I love that. And it's true. Doesn't mean you can't do it. It's just help people, especially when it comes to referrals. And I know you know this too. When you simplify it for people, they know who to refer you to.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Dennis, I know these people are chiropractors. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I know them. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. What would you like to leave us with today? What quote mantra, or is there a new book you're reading that you would like to share with everybody?
Gosh, you gave me so many options. I'm going to give you all three if I can. So my favorite mantra is I'm whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. It's called The Perfect Mantra. I don't recall where I found that from, but I'm whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. You mentioned my favorite quote. It's amazing what can be accomplished if no one cares who gets the credit. One of my favorite, especially when it comes to leadership. Mm-hmm. And then book, Super Communicators by Charles Duhigg. If you've read Duhigg's works before, like The Power of Habit or Stronger, Faster, Better, this one is all about communication and everything we've talked about in leadership. It's funny, didn't talk a lot about communication, but it's one of the things that you have to be skilled at is really, really being clear on communication and making sure that it's actually taking place. So those are the three. I'm going to give you all three. And thank you, Jen. I appreciate you having me on and allowing me to share with you.
Absolutely. So what is the best way for someone to reach you?
There's, the website, letsgowin.com, letsgowin365 on Instagram. I have a lot of traction there. And DM me on there. Just hit me up. You're going to get me. And I actually love to interact. So I think those would be the two best places.
Awesome. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for bringing all of your insight in here. I love the perspective. It's amazing how so many people, are leadership development coaches and speakers and whatnot. And we all have a slightly different take on everything that we're doing. And it's powerful because I imagine if we all came together and just did one massive leadership book, it would be the best in the world. It would be the best. I love it. Well, thank you again, JM. I really appreciate it. And thank you all for listening. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy days to listen in on us, whether you listen at full speed, half speed, or super duper fast. I appreciate the time that you dedicate. And don't forget to put everything in action. Listen to this again. If you're driving in your car, go back and take some notes. Transcribe it into AI, if that's what you need to do. Just transcribe it so that you can take some of these and start applying one little thing that you learned today from JM and then grow and create those habits. That's what atomic habits are. You can't get them all at one time, but do one of those little steps each time, each day, so that you can make yourself better. And don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube so that you can watch us as well as listen to us. And of course, you'll have all kinds of other things that are on there as well, that we're putting out, our other podcasts, Jen's Jots, some other little things that we put out on occasion. So we thank you again for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings.
You've been listening to Success to Significance with Jen Duplessis, the number one podcast for people wanting to give more value and make an impact. Loved this episode? Be sure to subscribe right now at www.jenduplessis.com/S2S for more stories, strategies, and thoughts to help you gain significance and success. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Join us next week for another breakthrough episode. Thank you for listening.